Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody, tell me if this sounds like you. You're debating healthcare with your interventionist friends, and you just can't seem to hold your own. They immediately claim the moral high ground, and you just don't know how to respond. Well, check out my free ebook, Your Facebook Friends Are Wrong About Healthcare, and you will be shocked. Yes, even you, a veteran libertarian, will be shocked at just how solid the libertarian position is. Pick it up for free at yourfriendsarewrong.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. What a great episode I've got today. I'm with Phil Labonte, who is the vocalist for the band All That Remains, which has been around for quite a while, over two decades, as a matter of fact. We're going to be talking about that as well as his libertarianism and how he arrived there and a bunch of other interesting topics. He's a great guy to follow on Twitter. We'll mention that in a minute. I sometimes just sit him reading his Twitter feed and Michael Malice's Twitter feed. Just make me happy. So you'll want to follow him on Twitter. Anyway, enough of this. Let's bring Phil on. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I am doing great. I couldn't be happier talking to you. I had somebody suggest that I have you on, and then I went over and found you on Twitter. And I said, hey, holy cow, I'm actually already following this guy on Twitter. And then I looked even closer and said, holy cow, this guy's following me on Twitter.
Yeah, we met back in 2012 there was the Free State Project was putting on something in New Hampshire, and me and a friend of mine had gone, and we met, and I still got the picture somewhere on one of my older computers too.
But see, in those days, I wasn't as cool as I am now.
Paul fucking Alexander.
Where the dicks hang out.
Oh, that's right. Gaylor told me you're helping with cleanup here now, eh?
You've shaken more than once. We know what you're doing.
How long you been at it?
48 fiscal hours.
Boy, that's more than enough time to see a nightmare or two around here, eh?
Sometimes there's shit on the outside of the toilet.
Huh?
Sometimes there's shit on the outside of the toilet.
Is that right?
You think that's bad, you should see the Uranus.
Huh?
You think that's bad, you should see the Uranus.
They get pretty hairy over there, or?
Sometimes there's shit on the outside of the Uranus.
What?
Sometimes there's shit on the outside of the Uranus.
Fuck that, Well, how do you think it got there?
Remember how I said sometimes there's shit on the outside of the toilet?
Yeah.
Well, I bet the shit got on the outside of the Uranus the same way the shit got on the outside of the toilet.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH, The Flush.
I already opened the can. I opened the can already. Hey, welcome to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I am your host, Brando, for the day. And with me, I have the proverbial golden boy, Monster of Mosh. As always, 365 Days of Horror. How you doing, buddy?
Isn't it something that when Joe is not here on the show, it's suddenly 70 degrees outside and the skies are blue and birds are chirping and everyone's a lot happier?
I think he hates the show so much that he sends us a little bit of that Texas sunshine up northeast side whenever we do the show for him.
Happy global warming, everyone.
Oh, no, that's a myth.
It is January and it is almost 70 degrees in the northeast.
It's,
That's bad.
No. The Democrats, they made it up, and they did that so that they could make money.
And the Australian Democrats are the ones who are lighting fires.
I mean, I haven't been to Australia. Where's the proof?
I mean, you've never seen me and Australia in the same place at the same time.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
It did not fucking happen, man. I don't even think I've seen a kangaroo. I've been to zoos. They don't have them. It's all made up. CGI, they do amazing things these days.
It's nice to see some metal bands have come out and started donating to Australia. Like, I know Metallica dropped $750,000, which is a nice chunk of change until you realize it's Metallica. And it's also kind of a weird number to give. Like, why not a million? I assume it has something to do with taxes.
Some random porn star gave more money.
Yeah, and didn't she get, like, kicked off of Instagram because she was selling her pictures and then donating that money? And it was, like, over X amount of dollars.
I think she also got canceled because she was wearing, like, a little hood, like a little fuzzy hood, and was like, you know, Eskimo cutie goes down on, and then she was canceled.
Well, tough luck, wallabies and kangaroos.
Yeah.
Woke Twitter was too angry to give you money.
Yeah. Woke Twitter strikes again. They did it. They made it happen. Man, this is the conservative talk show today. We're really in on it, man.
Bernie Sanders, punk bitch.
Punk old bitch. I woke up this morning and the first thing I thought about was the 90s Hell in a Cell match with Mankind against The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought of every bump that Mick Foley took in that match. And I was just like, who the fuck okayed all of this?
Greedy ass Vince McMahon who thought it would help with ratings.
It sure did, didn't it?
It helped him win the war. I mean, now Mick Foley had to get like hip replacements and his knees are fucked up and he can't walk, but we still remember him being thrown off the top of a cage through a table and then chokeslammed through the cage onto the canvas where a chair hit him in the face. For real.
Former wrestlers, they feel that bump the most. Like, they're the most upset about Mick Foley taking that one. Because that canvas, that does not have a lot of give when you take it from the top rope, let alone from God, what, 30 feet above. Man gets hit so hard, tooth popped out of his face, went up his sinus cavity and up his nose. He had a tooth in his nose for half the match, just popping out and showing everybody. He was like,
and that's
go ahead.
That's all for our entertainment.
It's just like, I mean, you got all these things coming out. Is it pronounced Laparca? Laparca Dos.
Laparca, yes.
Laparca Dos. Not the real Laparca that everybody's thinking about, but Laparca replaced by another guy in the same mask. Apparently he took a ringside bump and didn't survive the consequences. Dude's dead. Didn't make
it. It's not the Laparca from like WCW that people remember, who like had the little skeleton onesie and would play air guitar on a chair. It's kind of sort of a tradition almost in Mexican wrestling where, like, if you're a well enough known gimmick, you can sell that gimmick to someone else and you retire. Ooh. And this happened with Laparca. He sold the mask and the gimmick and everything to someone else. He retired, but then he came back, and obviously he couldn't like take his name back. It's not how it works with them. So he's L.A. Park right now. So he's still alive.
He's okay.
Protect L.A. Park. Yeah. And this other one who, like I said, took a bump and was seriously injured, I think he finally succumbed to his injuries, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah, and recently you got this picture of Kevin Nash coming out, his legs all bow-legged and awful.
Oh, I saw that.
Knees on the sides. It's like the things that these guys put their bodies through, all for that white trash glory. It's a wild world we live in. If you really just sit and think about the concept of professional wrestling for more than a minute and a half, you know, you might think twice about watching it, but fuck it, it's fun.
If you've never watched wrestling, for those who listen to us and don't, Kevin Nash is what, 6'6", 6'5", very tall man, and just years of knee and leg problems kind of caused his legs to atrophy. And it's like his upper half was still in decent shape, but then he had the legs of like an 80-year-old man that's at Planet Fitness that sticks his leg up on the bench and applies Gold Bond to his balls right in your face.
Yeah, that's what his legs. Balls just slide right out from underneath those shorty short shorts right in front of you, and he just
as he's talking to you.
We got a.
How about them Patriots?
How about them Patriots? You know, that Tom Brady, that young fella, he's our consolation, can he? Look, we got a lot of work to do that's heavy metal related. There's a lot of shit that went. It's been a busy week. So I hope you guys enjoyed the intro because we're going to get right the fuck to it. Let's start off with our best friend, our good little itty bitty buddy over there and all that remains fronting them. He's Phil Labonte. You guys know him. We bring him up probably maybe a couple times. And he's mad online, which is just so unlike him.
We've covered this before.
Have we?
It's the Ollie Herbert case, you know.
Remain anonymous.
He passed away. He committed suicide, whatever you want to believe, about a year ago. And there's an ongoing case to look into any sort of foul play. And while there hasn't been much movement on the case besides the billboard that we talked about a few weeks ago asking for anonymous tips at a phone number, Phil Labonte decided to go on the Twitter machine and, you know, not talk about politics or guns or hating women for a couple minutes, and instead tweeted about Ali's case, stating, CT State Police arrested Jen Dulos' estranged husband and charged him with murder. They have not found a body. There's been no arrest in the Ali Herbert case, even though his body was in the pond behind his house, and there was one person there when it happened. Hashtag justice for Ali.
Wow, looks like you guys can, you know, arrest people for murder, apparently, but not my murder case that I care about. It's pretty funny.
What about me?
It must be
what about Phil Labonte? What about my feelings? Did the Connecticut State Police ever consider that?
It's just amazing how far this thing goes up, man. Like how high that this conspiracy against Ollie just, I mean, the police, they got to the police. You know, they've been paid
FBI,
off.
FBI, CIA, NSA, LMNOP.
How fucking high up does this go? And, I mean, God, what a case for libertarians, huh? The police, I mean, who needs them, right? Got to have that old-fashioned, you know, open carry justice. This would have been solved in a minute.
Just picturing Phil Labonte walking around Central Connecticut with a blunderbuss on his shoulder.
Yeah, just like a giant, like, Looney Tunes elephant gun.
He's just with like the little sack of powder around his neck, and he has to like rip something off of his teeth and pour it in the top and push it down with that big stick, and you know, just doing like our forefathers wanted to get justice for his friend.
He finds Elizabeth Herbert and shoots her in the face with a giant big explosion, and then like her mouth is instead in front of her face, it's now behind her face, and she has to turn it around and look at him angrily after he does it. Justice for Ollie.
I was thinking it would backfire and his face would just be all black.
Yeah.
And justice then he'd hate himself.
Go ahead. Don't shoot ladies and expect that they won't die. But
it's just like, how do you look at like one thing like this poor Jen Dulos person? How do you say, they solved that, but they didn't do what I wanted them to do? How dare you?
Apparently, this Jen Dulos lady is fucking more important than what I got going on in my life. Apparently, the Connecticut State Police have time for that. And it's like the implication, because the genders are reversed. You know, what strikes me the most. It's like, oh, so if a husband murders his wife, all of a sudden, you know.
Oh, that's just, I hadn't considered that. And that's a whole new level of gross that, knowing what we know about Phil Labonte and what he has said about women and feminism in the past, that fits right in.
That was the first thing that struck me. That's like what I thought his whole point was you know, some random husband murders his wife, and look, Connecticut State Police all over it. Wife murders her husband, and oh no, can't find who done it. Terrible. Just terrible, Connecticut State Police. Do better.
And stay off Twitter, Phil Labonte, please.
No, we need him in our hour of need more than ever. He's got a tweet.
I made sure to check his Twitter once the issue sprung up with Iran, because I wanted some hot takes, but didn't really see all that much. I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, he really doesn't give it where it counts. But I mean, we can talk about that. We can talk about all sorts of, we got lots of fun stuff for metal bands, but firstly we gotta state something that happened this week that I personally found pretty tragic. Neil Peart, famed drummer from Rush, no longer with us. He passed away, and may he rest in peace. That was a major bummer. Some people who follow me on social media, I'm sorry to interrupt, some people who follow me on social media, they know that my like I named my cat Neil Peart. But for instead of like the last name, I just named it like P-U-R-R-T, like cat purring, because I thought that was funny. And also, Neil Peart really hates it when his fans are creepy and like do fandom things at him. So I thought that was extra funny. I just had so many layers of goofball irony on everything I do in life, because I'm just, you know, I'm not a little baby. So Yeah. So now I got my my little orange namesake walking around, and I look at him, and I just, you know, my lips quivering, fellas. It's a sad time.
I was genuinely surprised at the outpouring of love and emotion from metal Twitter for Rush. I had not known or expected that many metalheads to be that into a band like Rush.
Rush was something else. I mean, a lot of metalheads are way into the technical shit, right? You know, like technical death metal. You got your Altered Beasts, and your, we'll get more into them in a minute. But it's like, I don't know. I think Rush were, as far as like the old 70s dad stuff was concerned, I think Rush was probably more my forte than, say, something like, you know, Rolling Stones or Led Zeppelin. I always had an appreciation for Rush because they were really nerdy and they got really weird.
I kind of think that's why I've never really been interested in them, is the nerdy aspect of it. I mean, I know there's Tom Sawyer, and I know that other I Will Choose Free Will song, yeah. And that's enough for me. I pumped the brakes on that. I actually had this moment years ago when just hopping in the car, turning on like the local classic rock station, and the DJ was like, coming up next, Rush. And I went in my head, I'm like, all right, Rush is fine. I'll keep the station on. And then the song started playing. I'm like, this isn't bad. This is all right. I don't really like this. I'm changing the channel.
Geddy Lee had one of those voices. There's like some people who like note vocalists as reasons they can't listen to bands. Like, a lot of people can't stand something like Guns N' Roses, which is the perfect, most wonderful band, and we should never insult on air again because they're just so incredible, and how could I? Like, they'll say Axl Rose's voice is just too much, they can't handle it because it's so its own thing and it's so weird. And Geddy Lee's definitely just one of those guys, that really high-end, squeaky, kind of goofball-y voice. I get it. But I've always loved Rush, and it's a huge bummer. I can't come out and say that I'm like a Rush fan, because I just don't have enough to like satisfy a Rush gatekeeper from just pounding me in the dust with a lack of knowledge sort of a thing. One thing I do want to take away from this whole thing is that if Rolling Stones already reports the fucking death, the rest of the news outlets and all of music can shut the fuck up.
You know that's not how it works, though.
You do not all have to all together write the same article about Neil. It's like Neil Peart report. It's like, oh, who's, you know, I'm that guy. I'm 42 years old. I have a silver goatee, wraparound sunglasses. Okay. I'm not tan. I'm just red all over.
You know, spiked receding hair.
I'm just spiked receding hair, you know, and I got my my Coors Light, and I'm going on the internet, and I got that little cigarette butt just staining my two yellow fingers right there. You know, I'm just painting the picture here for you. And the tab that I consistently have open all the time on Microsoft Edge, because they had to replace Internet Explorer, and that weirded me out, is loudwire.com. And so If Loudwire doesn't say it, how am I supposed to know that Neil Peart kicked it, right? Gotta say it if you're Loudwire.
Part of the problem is, like, with sites like Loudwire, they're all some sort of conglomerate. They're underneath some umbrella corporation that owns Loudwire and Hard Rock Magazine and this and that. So you see the same article five or six times, and then the lesser websites and lesser blogs have to post their own while still linking back to those, and just, you hear it once and that's enough. And then if you're on any social media, you'll see just the outpouring of retweets and likes of those news stories. And then, you know, there is the nice stuff of people. I did see someone posted a postcard that he had sent to Neil Peart, and Neil had wrote back to him. So there's like sweet stuff like that, but you kind of have to wade through some of the yep, I got it type stories.
Yeah, and I mean, like underground metal outlets specifically. I mean, even if you guys are Rush fans on your heavy metal downtime, which is a thing maybe we can discuss in a different episode. It's like, what do we listen to in our heavy metal downtime? I don't know. You don't have to really put it out there. You can say things like, hey, metal guy's reacting or something, and then you have like a big goofy face on a YouTube video with a lime green background.
God damn it.
Just kidding. Don't do that either. But like just having to report that Neil Peart is dead, it's like, man, you know, the major rock outlets got it covered. You guys just keep doing your thing. Keep reviewing your death metal albums. You know, stick to music.
But I need to know what vocal coach thinks of Neil Peart's drumming, or hip hop head's reaction to Free Will.
I'm sure he'll be quite impressed.
God damn it! I want to punch him in the face.
So R.I.P. Neil Peart. You're a legend. You drummed harder than anybody drummed. Really did.
You know it's going to be 100 times when Ozzy finally shuffles off over the Rainbow Bridge.
Oh, man. That guy's immortal. Sharon Osbourne is just going to keep pumping chemicals into him to keep him alive, just barely enough so she can get the latest squeeze from him.
He's half embalmed already.
He's going to milk that fucking cow dry, man, I tell you.
Have you heard the new song that they just came out with Elton John, of all people?
I mean, I think it's hilarious that Elton John is now featured on Metal Archives. But
oh, it's amazing. Between the Buried and Me still isn't on Metal Archives, but Elton John is.
Just fucking phenomenal.
Like, is that like the biggest case of gatekeeping on the internet?
Dude, like, you and I are on Metal Archives, for fuck's sake.
Yep, and true. They'll take anything, and but they refuse to put on this well-known, well-liked metal band that has been around since the early 2000s.
I don't know. I think the guy who runs the site just has a very odd opinion about what is and is not metal, and he, I don't know, guys like that might have inspired a thing or two for me as far as satire pieces, but fuck, come on. Elton John.
Sticking to their guns.
Chad Kroeger. You guys gotta let some things go.
I did learn through looking at Elton John's Metal Archives that he did do guest work for Saxon in, I think, the 80s.
Oh, well, that kicks ass. See, I mean, 80s Elton John, forget it. The big feather boas and all that, forget it. That'd rule. That'd be awesome.
I mean, I'd like to believe that when he played his part in this Ozzy song, he was wearing that big Donald Duck costume that he famously wore.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's just his Tuesday afternoon get up now. He wears that to go to the store.
All of a sudden I remember this news story from Elton John where like they just asked his opinion on Madonna and he called her like, oh, she's a fucking pig, like up and down 1,000 times, just kept calling Madonna a pig. And I'm like, Madonna, like, how's she a pig? She's got nothing but bones on her. What's the sitch there, bro?
Maybe he wanted to do a collab and she said no, or wanted to charge him money or something like that.
It's a crazy world, man. There's just so many bits of drama out in the music world. Let's get into some of that, shall we?
Speaking of drama.
Hey, man, do you guys like Alter Beast? Anyone listening? You guys into those Black Dahlia Murder with more riffs? It's the Black Dahlia Murder with more riffs. Anyway, we got some feuding going on. This was as of January 9th in our Lord's Year 2020. Former Alter Beast members Slam guitarist Andrew Lamb. So apparently Andrew Lamb, and we've talked about this concept before on the show, is that what happens is a lot of bands have the guy. Like, the guy is the whole band. He tells everybody what to do. He tells everybody what to play. He makes all the big decisions. And it's really like his baby. And then, like, the rest of the members are, you know, on the ride. And you can tell because they pout just a little bit more and they slink just a little bit more than the one guy in the band photo.
Right. And it usually leads to feuding, whether it's money problems or it's, like, creative issues. There's kind of, like, the one little tyrant in the band and everyone else is a hired gun.
Pretty much.
And we've seen that. We're seeing it now with Alter Beast. We've seen it with The Heart Machine.
Yeah.
We've seen it with The Faceless.
Faceless, about to be the next thing I mentioned, sure.
See it with Amir. Just, there's the guy, and then there's everyone else. And everyone else eventually gets fed up and says, fuck it. And then they have to hire other people.
Yeah. You see it with the band Ghost. I mean, that Faceless Ghoul number three, dude's a tyrant.
Runs the whole show. I mean, there was the court issues with the old Faceless Ghouls who said they were owed money, and I guess Papa whatever won in court, and it's kind of just been languishing right now. So you have something to look forward to, current Faceless Ghouls.
Yeah, hopefully he pays you well. All right, let's get into this. So here's what some of the boys from Alter Beast had to say. These are some paragraphs, so everybody sit tight. Apparently Facebook is just the place to be for band drama. Twitter, it's just like a one-off little couple hundred character thing. But Facebook, we got some angry mad white guy online novels on Facebook. So here's what they said. After recent events, I want to announce that I am no longer in Alter Beast, nor do I want to be associated with it. The band is run entirely by Andrew Lamb, and everyone that's been in and out the past few years has essentially been a live or fill-in member with virtually no say in anything. Originally, I was going to be doing the European tour as a last hoorah, but after being personally attacked and blamed for him getting a felony in Texas, eye roll emoji, I'm done with dealing with a baby man who finds a way he can, I'm sorry, who finds any way he can to blame others for his own bad decisions. Good luck burning every last bridge around you, dude. And this was from, Alan Burton posted this on Facebook. So I don't want to just say the whole band said it. Alan Burton specifically said it.
The Alan Burton.
The Alan Burton. And when he's referring to the felony in Texas, that's when they had a marijuana arrest earlier in the year or last year.
All four members were arrested for possession of marijuana. I think they were in Texas when it happened.
Yes.
Yeah, they were in Texas. And it was over like $1,000 in bail. And the band, well, it sounds like this Lamb fella actually created a GoFundMe for donations.
Yeah.
I think part of the issue is he kept the money.
Oh, my God. Holy shit. Less than an hour later, Michael Alvarez, who performed vocals on 2018's Feast, chimed in with his own damning statement. And we'll get through this. This is some paragraphs. So let's just.
Deep breaths. Have a sip of water or, it's almost noon. You can have some beer as a treat.
Let's get right to it. As some of you may know, I was in the band Alter Beast for a couple of years. It's been a year and a half since I quit. And since my departure, I had kept in good standings with my previous bandmates. I did all I could behind the scenes years before I joined the project, as well as did my best to continue helping the project any way I could after I quit. I can say that in light of recent events, I would like to share with you the reasoning of my... But just fucking get to it, man!
Jesus. Enough with the preamble.
Yeah, as many probably already know, it was because of our guitarist, Andrew Lamb. There's a million and one details I can go into about how I spent thousands of dollars to help make shit happen, how I ended up homeless twice because of not being paid on tours, how many sacrifices I made to help get the project out of the gutter and on the road touring, and not receiving a single penny, fuck, for our album Feast, which sold fairly well. But I'll sum it all up real quick for you. Andrew sucks to work with, and everybody who's been a part of Alter Beast could say the same. I spent countless hours being there for someone I saw some good in while others all around me warned me of his antics. I gave him a million and one chances. Wow, million and one. That's a popular thing for you. My dedication as a friend and business partner, my 1,000% devotion to making the band the best it could be with all my resources, and he took it all for granted. He took advantage of my kindness and caring nature and spat in my face while doing it. Dealing with backhanded insults and childish behavior on the daily from a guy who had way less experience in the industry than myself was appalling, to say the least. At the time, we had a successful release and tours lined up and so much opportunity for the band, so I tried to keep a happy face on and push through the hard times for the sake of the project. By the last tour in Canada, I had seen a much more fucked up side of Andrew. It then became apparent to me that I no longer needed to be part of the project. The way he treated my bandmates and others was unacceptable. All of us stayed quiet and put up with it for the sake of the band and our music careers. Since my departure, we had remained friends, and I wanted the project to succeed, so I recommended several friends as replacements, as well as tried to support the project. I may have been a bit bitter about how things went, but I still felt there was some good, so let the past go. In today's events, I witnessed another fill-in member dealing with more bullshit from Andrew. I'm over it. That GoFundMe was a scam, and he got over on so many of his fans by having them donate, then selling them said merch they had already paid for him. He used my friends' faces as poster childs to get donations. He throws blame at everyone but himself. I'm over it, and I'm tired of seeing this dude fuck over people. I no longer want my name associated with Alter Beat, yada yada. Like, there's through. He's not really saying much of anything. It's just Alter Beat, you know, this guy's a douchebag. Just say the guy's a douchebag, he lied, he screwed over his fans, he's difficult to work with, gave me no money. Fuck him. You know? We don't need to have just... You're not going to write a fucking novel every time you quit a band.
I guess he had a lot inside him that he wanted to get out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Michael. I don't mean to take it out on you. You're a good dude. You're a good dude. I can tell you're a good dude. You know, keep it brief. Because I got some of us have to read this stuff. What are your thoughts, Jordan?
Obviously, if enough people are saying something about this person, Mr. Lamb, mm-hmm. that there's probably something to it. I mean, there's also the band's former live drummer jumped in, and it seems to be a pattern of, like we talked about, it's this person that's in control of a band, and they're the guy, and everyone else, even if they have more experience, more knowledge, and in you know, Michael Alvarez's case, money. They put more money into it, and they're still not listening to you. They're still not working as a band, as a group, as a collective. Then bad stuff's going to happen, and you know, people eventually show you who they really are. And it's important to actually listen, whether it's listening to other people telling you or listening to yourself and realizing that there's a problem and it's not going to get better. You need to remove yourself from that situation. It's like being in an abusive relationship, just on like a business level and on a band level. If you wouldn't, you would hopefully not act the same way with your partner as you would like in a band like this. If you had a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever, doing the same things, taking your money, yelling at you, ignoring you, not working with you to do things creatively or in your house or whatever, mm-hmm. then it's best for you to move on in some way. And sometimes, especially with bands, it sometimes takes multiple people to all agree to get out of the relationship.
I mean, that's an interesting point because, I mean, bands, especially if you're on the road, these guys are pretty much your family. They're pretty much like serious relationships that you have to maintain. And if you treat them badly, if you're a huge piece of shit and you take advantage of them and you just, you know, drain them for everything they're worth, it's not going to go well for you. A lot of people treat bands like a professional relationship. And you, if you were guys are metal musicians, knock that shit off. It's not a job. Metal bands are not jobs anymore. They can't be anymore. You know, this is just for fucking fun. It's just a good time you're supposed to have with your pals, because I guarantee anybody who makes a death metal band right now, in 5-6 years after you're burnt out and you're all out of money, you're going to have real careers, and you're going to want to keep some of the friends that you were supposed to make during those times.
It depends on the type of music, I think, is a large part of it, and level of success. Like you said, like maybe a death metal band or, you know, extreme, any sort of heavy thing, you might get to a little level of popularity, like an Alter Beast. It's a name that probably most listeners at least have heard of or confuse it with the video game. So I think that, like, you, if you're a guitarist that likes that sort of music, you kind of want to be in a band like that. And if the chance comes up, you kind of jump to it so you could be like, wow, I'm in the band I really like, or like, this is what I want to do with my life. And I do know in some situations it is a paying gig for people. I have friends that jump on a tour with a band or two playing drums or playing bass, for example, and they get like a daily, not paycheck, but $100 stipend per day or per show or something like that. And part of it is, yeah, they want a tour, they want to be in the band, but they do also have expenses. They do also have bills to pay at home or whatever. So they might hop on a tour and be Mercury's guitarist for a European tour here or there. So, you know, I understand that.
No, that's pretty cool.
But I think that's a level above where an Alter Beast may be, or, you know, the Heart Machine or whoever, where
right.
you're dealing with these heavy metal tyrant, and you're not getting anything out of it, and it's sounding like in Michael Alvarez's case, or whoever else was in the band, we're kicking money into it, which means you're losing even more money than you'd be making, and you're like putting your heart and soul in everything, where someone's not putting their heart and soul into what you're doing in your work. You're just, you're the vessel for vocals for my project. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's pretty fucked. If you guys are making any sort of money whatsoever, you gotta fucking, like, I think the right thing to do, regardless of how much you write the music, how, you know, how much things are your ideas, it's like, really, at the end of the day, ideas mean jack shit when up against actual real work. And these guys who are your session musicians or the guys who are your live members, they're doing real work. They're taking time out of their lives. They're putting in the effort to play the music. You got to fucking pay them fair. I think if you're in a band of four dudes, that means nothing else but four separate ways that money goes and nothing else. And if you're not willing to do that, then don't monetize a band.
Pay them and respect each other. I think that kind of goes out the window. I think the longer you tour and the more it becomes your band and not someone else's band,
right,
is that you can think you can do whatever you want. Just be like, sorry, dude, that's, it's just the way it is. I hired you. I can get someone else. And then it becomes the abusive relationship.
I think when they start treating bands more like a business, you get into this kind of shit, because you got this Andrew Lamb guy here, and he acts like he's the boss. He owns the thing. It's all his. And I'm sure he'd be happy. He'd be the first person to tell you that's the case. And he thinks really that he's the most important guy there, and there's no Alderbeast without him. And fuck, I mean, that might be true, but I don't know. Like you said, respect people, respect their time, respect the work they put in. And I mean, if all of you guys show up and play the same songs together and you do it all on time and you play a good show, get paid for the show, say, I don't know, just for the sake of divvying it up even, $500 for five guys, $100 each, go to the next show, do it again. And that's how it should fucking be.
Yeah, it's a level thing. Like, for a band, say, like, Opeth needs a new keyboardist, like, they can hire someone.
Right.
Whether it's a session guy that they want to do live, or, hey, I know the keyboardist from this power metal band from Sweden. That's different. That's kind of not – that's on another level. People are going to go see Opeth, but then again, Opeth can get any sort of keyboardist and it still works. And if there's that understanding, it's fine. With this, it seems like he got rid of people, got more people – getting rid of more people. No one should join Alter Beast, it sounds like.
Well, an interesting quote, and I skipped over this because I couldn't read anymore, but Michael says, I suggest y'all stop ordering merch, hopefully stop supporting Alter Beast overall. Andrew is the only one in the band that reaps all the benefits of your donations and merch sales. So this guy is like drawing a line in the sand. He says, everybody stop listening to this band. Stop. Like, Alter Beast is canceled.
That's always helpful. I kind of wish bands would do that more. Just kind of lay out how things work. And if you do this, you are helping this person and they are bad. Do not do that. And I think that gets lost when bands break up or members get kicked out or drop out. They kind of go, well, it's Machine Head. I still like Machine Head, so I'm going to buy, you know, whatever, the 25th anniversary of the From This Day single.
Yeah.
When you probably shouldn't be giving money to certain people. Nothing against Rob Flynn.
Yeah, nothing against Rob Flynn at all. Nothing. Not even a little thing. I don't think I've ever seen that said outright in, like, a band breakup message. Like, just straight up, don't listen to them anymore. Don't fucking support this band anymore.
Very rare. Usually what happens is that we're going to get another band called Alter Beast, and a third band called Altered Beast.
Oh, that, yeah.
And a fourth one called The Altered Beasts. The true Altered Beast. And just by then, no one cares about any of them.
Alter Batushka is what you're saying.
Exactly. I think on Metal Archives, it's like they're up to five or six Batushkas right now.
I mean, it's a fucking meme at this point, and it's their fault. Like, they made themselves a meme because they couldn't grow up and get along and make those decisions. But I feel like so much of the typical breakup is like, I'm out of here and I wish them all the best. And then that's it. There is no wishing anybody the best in this. The last thing he says is fuck Andrew Lamb. R.I.P. Alter Beast.
Well, how about this? Going back to what we were talking about earlier in the show with La Parca, what if there was a band, let's just use Alter Beast as an example, where Andrew Lamb says, you know what, I don't want to do Alter Beast anymore, but the name is still popular, people still like them. What if I sold the name and the songs and everything that goes with it to these other guys, and Alter Beast can continue?
Yeah.
If a band you liked did something like that, would you continue listening to them, or is it like just a new band and that's it, you're done?
Shit. I mean, I think that's what actually happens sometimes, is you have a band that has this guy we're referring to, like the guy who has all the ideas and runs everything. Depending on the level of the band, he pretty much sells his share of the band and he's not in it anymore. And these guys that were previously just session musicians continue on making music, and it's not as good.
I mean, so, I guess that's like Lynyrd Skynyrd in 2020, isn't
pretty
it?
Much,
it's like,
yeah,
the guy who plays Triangle originally, and then just all other guys doing Sweet Home Alabama and Fat Bikers are grooving to it, and some civic center in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, everyone in Mayhem is dead, but that didn't stop them from being Mayhem. The true Mayhem.
True Norwegian black metal Mayhem. Cares.
Oh man.
But then it's kind of like, when thinking about that stuff, it's how about bands that have mostly stuck together but they change their sound completely, or enough where it's not the same band? Like In Flames is another good example. Should they have gotten a new name, or is the In Flames name too good for them to sell or get rid of or to move away from?
I mean, I think that's the latter is just always going to be the case. And if you have the same core dudes, no pun intended, in that band, then yeah, I could see keeping the name. I mean, the most grandest, giantest elephant in the room in that case would be Metallica. And can I just say something real quick? There's been some back and forth about whether or not Cliff Burton is, Metallica fans make this assumption based on literally nothing but the timeline alone. They think that Metallica's like true heavy metal music maker died with Cliff Burton, and then that's when they started sucking. Specifically was when he died.
Because their bassist died?
Right, their bassist died. And I know he wrote music. He does have writing credits on a lot of songs, sure. But if you go back and you look at fucking those 80s albums, he does not have writing credit on everything. It's mostly just Lars and James. Those were the core dudes in Metallica who wrote Metallica. Those were the guys that asked Cliff Burton to join them,
right,
after they were already a fucking band. The guy is not Metallica. Like, he wasn't. And he's a great bassist, great music writer, made some really great progressive music. But I guarantee you he would have got a fucking haircut and played bass on load. I
absolutely
guarantee it. It's not Cliff Burton dying. It's the 80s dying. Okay, that's what happened to Metallica. Let It Go.
I mean, yeah, you don't even have to look at Metallica with the 90s.
God, no.
For bands changing, and we've talked about this before. Look at Iron Maiden changing, Black Sabbath changing, Judas Priest changing. The like early to mid 90s were a bad time for classic metal bands because the stylings were changing again, and they were trying to change with it, and they weren't young enough or hip enough or close enough to like what's new to really do something good with it. And it's kind of these weird oddball albums that whenever you see like a Loudwire list of top 10 Iron Maiden albums, the ones at the bottom are always from that era.
Absolutely. And I don't know, get your head out of your ass, figure it out, man. That's not what happened. Cliff Burton was not like the pivotal force just saying, hey guys, listen, we gotta stick to our roots. We gotta be the best. Just no. Metallica would have fucking, God knows what they would have sounded like. Maybe a little bit better. I don't know. It's just all we're doing is speculating. But the only thing people have to point out is the timeline. I mean, James himself has come out and said, yeah, I think Cliff probably would have liked playing on load. And it's just what better source do you have than the fucking guy that was in a band with him?
Yeah, we have the power of hindsight, and once this person dies, then you're just guessing.
Right.
You're hoping or you're wondering. It's kind of like, well, Death would have become a metalcore band if Chuck hadn't died, or you know what I mean, a tech death band or something like that.
Yeah.
Because you're just guessing. You don't know what's going to happen. There might not have been a symbolic two. It might have been X death X, and there was floor punching breakdowns, and you don't know. You can only guess, but it's kind of silly to project what you had wanted for the band when it's 20 to 30 years after something had happened.
Yeah, Chuck, God knows, he could have been another James Kotak on Twitter, just being way conservative.
Kotak attack. Yeah. Kotak attack.
Listen, we're going to have a new segment on the show called Kotak Attack. And we were trying to figure out a theme song for it, and I think I came up with something a little bit special, a little bit more relevant to the Scorpions than I previously thought we were going to do. But I threw this together, and every time James Kotak says something stupid on the internet, we're going to play this song. James Kotak saying something dumb again. Dummy, dummy, dummy! James Kotak. Get out of here. Idiot. And then we're going to do the segment. And so, yeah, James Kotak, you got yourself your own little show here, buddy. You got yourself your own little segment, your own little podcast corner of the world. You did it. You worked hard, and you made some things happen for yourself.
I'm looking at his Twitter now, and there's a tweet for the Ronnie Montrose Remembered, a NAMM 2020 All-Star 5-Year Commemorative Anniversary Concert, and it's got, like, a picture of Eddie Trunk, and it says featuring members of, and it's like every 80s band. You got your Lynch Mob, Night Ranger, Tesla, Dokken.
Oh, wow.
Jack Russell's Great White, Mr. Big, Y&T, all that. And then, like, Scorpions is at the bottom, but in really, really tiny font, like, possibly the smallest font on there, it says Slayer.
Oh, no. Is Slayer touring again? Are they back?
I mean, this is just featuring members of, so pick whoever you want, either who was in Slayer, who left Slayer. Maybe Paul Bostaff is showing up.
Probably but Gary fucking Holt with his latest stupid guitar.
Probably, but it's just so funny to see a PR picture of, like, Megadeth, Ozzy Osbourne, Slayer. By the way, Slayer's here. Like, the Ted Nugent band logo is bigger than Slayer is on this.
Hey, this is Gary Holt from Slayer, and this is my latest design with ESP guitars. Every single fret of this guitar has an inlay that signifies a different way you kill a Kardashian. Up here, you got Kim. That's my favorite.
This is the No Lives Matter pickup.
Yeah, this is. Oh, man. Gary Holt, stop.
Don't ever stop, Gary Holt.
I'm going to have to come up with a theme song for Gary Holt now. Jeez. It's going to be a lot of work you guys are going to. I'm going to be getting through. But, all right. So
we've been doing this long enough. We could have a theme song for him, for Filibonte, for Nurgle, for KK Warslut.
Oh. That would be incredible. I don't know if I could find a karaoke version without vocals for, like, one of KK Warslut's bands, but I don't know.
Fuck it. Just do Pop Goes the Weasel.
KK Warslut's angry again. He is gonna dox you.
See? We're good to go already.
We got it. Nailed it. All right. Let's get into this last bit of drama for the week.
The feuding continues between Dragged Into Sunlight and Prosthetic Records.
Well, I mean, I gotta say, a feud is usually a two-way street.
It's a one-sided feud.
This one might not be. But go ahead, you explain. You take the floor on this one.
So we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how Dragged Into Sunlight had put out a video saying Prosthetic Records had owed them money, or, like, wasn't putting out music they wanted. And it didn't get a lot of attention at the time, I think partially because it was just an awkward video of a British man in a ski mask talking in a basement.
All Muppets on Facebook thinking you're bad, mate. I line every last one of your birds up, I'm bombing one by one. Fucking bear rat must! I'm gonna get my Aprilia out and do burnouts on your front lawn, and then I'm gonna chuck mud bombs at your nan's windows, you silly bastards. Think I'm a fucking ding mush, eh? I'll grab your bird in headlock and I'll shave a fucking bald. You think you don't read my comments on Facebook? I'll take it out of that bonnet and carry on driving, you little dings.
Whilst we're on that Facebook subject, this is a message from Phil Trout. You want to take piss out of my curtains, mate? Have you seen state on your bird's beef curtains, mate? You can swing from flap to flap, mate, and they fucking stink.
Kenzie Lee, Scummy Mummy Award goes to you, you little slag. When I see you at school in the morning, I'm going to take you out them PJs and them fucking Ugg boots and throw you in a fucking thorn bush.
And how are you going to tell me to get a job when your dad sat outside job centre picking up dockers in your sister's knickers?
And if we're on about your sister's knickers, you want to tell Scruffy Bitch to give him a wash? I put my hand down there other week, mate, pulled them down, bro. Fucking hell, I thought they were two-tone tiger stripes, mush. Fucking skidders all over them, dirty bitch, mate. She needs to put them in fucking wash.
You think you're sick, though, man? You will know about it when I fucking Batista bomb your nanny in the middle of Asda and show an eggplant up a fanny the fucking dustbag.
And it kind of looked like a terrorist video. But Prosthetic never responded, never did anything to it, and the story died a death. It was gone. Nothing happened. But this past week, a Dragged Into Sunlight song appeared on Bandcamp. And I believe it's like through Prosthetic Records. And initially people are like, oh my God, new Dragged Into Sunlight. Oh my God, I'm so happy. I'm going to buy it. And then people had to realize that, like, oh wait, Prosthetic Records is actually putting this out. And Dragged Into Sunlight put out a little response on their Twitter page, which only has 3,000 followers. Possibly because their at isn't at Dragged Into Sunlight, but they still have a blue check mark. Anyway, what the band said was, we saw Prosthetic Records drop a recording that was delivered to the label in May 2019. We will not see any funding from this record or any other record with Prosthetic Records, nor did Prosthetic Records discuss the release of Terminal Aggressor 2 with us, even refusing to pay for the insane artwork. Credit at Sold Do. In fact, and as you are likely aware, Prosthetic Records were refusing to release the record as recently as December 2019, unless we agreed to provide further recordings. Terminal Aggressor 2 is a sequel to Terminal Aggressor 1, a tape release which first appeared in 2008. At the time, two members traveled to an underground noise show in Glasgow and began to distribute tape copies of the release. Probably the best example as to what Dragged Into Sunlight was at the time and what it remains today. In a similar vein, Terminal Aggressor 2 has filed its predecessor. Whilst Prosthetic Records have refused to respect Dragged Into Sunlight, its work, or those involved for some 10 years, similarly to our previous releases, Terminal Aggressor 2 signifies a time and a place for Dragged Into Sunlight. It is very deserving of its place, and you are invited to continue listening and sharing.
So it's okay for us to listen to and buy this album.
It kind of sounded like that at the end. Yeah. I don't think that's what they meant.
It is very deserving of its place. Yeah, whilst... No, I guess that's what they're trying to say. Because whilst Prosthetic Records have refused to respect Dragon Sunlight...
Listen to it anyway.
Listen to it anyway, right. That seems to be the consensus.
Maybe listen to it, but don't buy it if you're a big fan. I'm kind of curious as to this little paragraph that says Prosthetic refusing to release this record as of last month unless you agree to provide further recordings. Now, in our previous discussion about this, we talked about kind of not knowing what's in their contracts, what was agreed upon. This is just speculation, but it kind of sounds like Dragged Into Sunlight might have agreed to release X amount of albums through Prosthetic.
Right.
Which is release three or four, you're under contract for that many. And maybe the last one was coming up before the contract was over, and the band wanted to release Terminal Aggressor 2, which is actually over 10 years old, and they had kind of released it themselves, like they're saying, just distributing copies. So it's possible that Prosthetic feels you already released this. It's not good enough for us to release. It's not long enough, perhaps. Like, there's still details missing, but it sounds like it's almost like Dragged Into Sunlight's done with Prosthetic, and Prosthetic is Braun Strowman, and we're not finished with you.
I mean, I hate to be that fucking guy, but it just sounds like a bunch of dudes who are sour grapes over their contract. Like, it's just not, like, they aren't happy with how things are. Like, they're just not happy with the thing that they signed.
It's possible. I mean, they're saying they haven't received funding for this record or any record with Prosthetic. Who knows, maybe part of the deal is Prosthetic would give them money to record, and maybe that's not been fulfilled, or maybe they're going to reimburse them, and that hasn't happened. There's still chunks missing, but it's slowly, the picture's getting less fuzzy, and it does sound like it's coming down to some sort of contract dispute.
That's strange to me. It's like, if you sign to a label, and then the label doesn't give you an advance to go pay to have your album recorded, why the fuck are you making the album in the first place? Just, you know, stand your laurels and wait for that money to come in, and then don't make the music until you get it. I mean, are they talking about the money after the fact? Because that usually doesn't exist these days.
Like, you get from sales, it's possible.
Yeah, like if you get your advance from a record label to record your album, it's usually this big chunk of change, and you have to pay it back through sales. And most bands often don't even do that. A lot of labels just make their money somewhere else, and they kind of just throw money at other bands so they can have kind of a bigger roster. So, I don't know. I'm curious. Maybe we should get somebody from the band to discuss this with us.
I was actually thinking the same thing while reading this, is that we're getting these drips and drabs, the slow, leaky faucet of information.
Right.
And I think someone in the band, really needs to come on our show and really at length for an hour lay it out, instead of saying, we didn't receive money, or they wouldn't put out the record. It's just, we're missing like the why.
Yeah, like, what's going on? Are they, like, is there money? Is there a number that you've seen that is owed to you due to sales that Prosthetic is just dragging their feet getting to you? Like, what's really happening here? Or are you just kind of mad about the fact that you signed a record label deal that might not have been so lucrative for you? I don't know.
Like, we're not taking sides in this.
No, I just don't have
to. We just want to know.
Yeah.
If Prosthetic isn't paying their bands, or if they're screwing over any bands, like, people should know about that. Fans should know about that. Other bands on their roster, potential bands that want to sign with them, should know about that. If that's not the case, then we kind of have to talk about why that is. Was it something that Dragon to Sunlight just signed? They were just like, yeah, we'll be fine. Did Prosthetic put things into this contract that maybe they shouldn't have? Maybe all bands should have a lawyer look at contracts of any sort of magnitude and work on. Like, I'm in a few bands, and I've signed some contracts before, but it's always been very clear,
right,
as to, like, we agree to do this. If X, then Y.
Yes.
If you sell 100 albums, you will receive 10% of sales at $9.99.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Because if you're going to have an allegation like this against a really pretty big label that a lot of people like and are doing some pretty cool things lately, you just saying Prosthetic Records isn't respecting us, it's not enough for me. I kind of have to know, like, okay, what's really going on? Like, what are the terms for you not getting paid? Like, what are the terms for your album not being released with your permission, et cetera, kind of thing? Like, what part of the contract is going on? Are they fucking it up? Because if you're in a contract and one side is fucking it up, then there's legal recourse for that sort of thing, you know? So, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Dragon to Sunlight, I know you're not listening, but if you are, let us know. What's going on?
Yeah, fuck it, come on.
Come on the show, or put out something that's a bit more robust. Say specifically what has happened here that's getting y'all pissed off, because, you know, just saying that they're not paying us, it's like, well, record labels don't all usually do that.
At the end of the day, record labels, while they may have a passion for music, while they might love listening to what you do and want other people to hear it, they're a business, and they're going to do what's best for them. And a lot of times it's at the expense of bands and artists and other people, and it's important to protect yourselves any way you can, and also to not join Alter Beast.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't, no, just don't.
Anything else going on this week, or are we going to call this one a wrap?
I think that's enough for this week, unless there's anything you're itching to talk about, if anyone's pissing you off on Twitter.
Who's pissing me off on Twitter? No.
Have you told everyone your height and your shoe size and whatever else that is?
My height and my shoe size?
It's been going around this past week. People have been sharing like their personal information, like it's MySpace. They're doing the MySpace bulletin responses of their height, I think their shoe size, what astrological sign they are, and like a couple other things. And like that's been the big thing this week.
One of them was what was the first CD I owned, which was Metallica's Black Album. It's the first CD I ever got. I don't want to.
It's like, the first one you got, not the first one you purchased, right?
No, I think that's the first one I received ever. Like the first CD to ever be in my library was that. But I don't want to come off like I was just always with it and I was always metal. I definitely had like Green Day's Nimrod as well. So like, don't think for a second it was any other reason that, you know, I liked ECW when I was a kid and I liked Enter Sandman. You know, that was it. I'm not a fucking beacon of true metal over here.
My first one that was bought for me was Live Throwing Copper. And the first one I ever purchased, like with my own money, I think was the Heavy Metal 2000 soundtrack.
That's a good album. Fuck. But yeah, I mean, as far as my, I saw some comment on shoe size where it's like every guy between like 5'9 and 6'2 is a size 10 shoe. And I'm like, no, they're not. No, they're not. Like, a fucking foot means 12 inches. A 12-inch foot is so fucking standard. It's the imperial measurement.
Was this just some random person saying some random thing?
And shit.
And it got you worked up.
Got me worked up. Imperial measurement is just 12 inches because some fucking idiot from America put his foot down and said, "That's a foot now, eh? We ain't gonna talk like this forever. Mark my words."
Boy, bro.
All right, fellas. Thank y'all for listening. This has been Breno and 365. You guys keep it metal. Hey.
Humans are extreme, humans are
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.